I was walking in the car and I was like, I really feel like I'm dressed like a mom today. And I wasn't even finished. And my 13-year-old goes, you are. Like, you're fully dressed like a mom.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Bruchka.
And this is our special birthday episode.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Today we're going to talk about aging.
Hi, Bean. Happy birthday month and week, Bean.
Happy birthday week.
For those who don't know, our birthdays are 5 days apart.
Yeah.
And it's fun that way. And Maury used to think she was a Leo for her whole life and then found out later in life she's a Virgo like me.
And I have had a very tumultuous acceptance process.
You have, but it just makes us more alike. Yeah. I think Agreed. It's fun. That we get to
I also think that I display more Virgo tendencies as I'm getting older. I think that when I was younger and a little fierier, I was a little more Leo. Yeah, I'm on the cusp. That. I'm born on August 22nd, being born on August 27th, as is my baby boy Keon, August 27th.
It's true.
So we have a little Virgo club going on, but that's a cusp day. August 22nd is when you look at horoscopes, the day that Leo ends, but it's because of the time that I was born. Anyway.
I will also say that a lot of people do not have my birthday, August 27th. It wasn't until I was an adult that I actually met somebody who had my same birthday. Haven't you encountered people who have your birthday over the years?
I have encountered one person and she's become a very good friend and was on the show, Susanna.
Oh, well, I feel like other people are like meet people who have their birthdays. I never encountered anyone who had my birthday until I was an adult. And then your son was born on my birthday, yes, which is really fun.
It's a special day. All right. Mm-hmm. So because it's our birthdays, we thought we would get into this concept of aging. But before we do you have any cringes or delights for us?
My delight is kind of related to aging. It's also a small story, but it was just very lovely. I was talking to my grandmother, who will probably come up in this episode like 1,000,000,000,000,000 times, because if you're going to age and you're going to do it right, you're going to do it like Bubby. You're going to do it like Bubby E, because she just – like nails it. Anyway, I was just talking to her on the phone a few days ago, and she was saying how she was at my cousin's house, and my cousin has kids that are like a little younger than my kids. And they were saying, I forget what they were saying. They wanted her to play. My grandmother's 93 and she still is sharp as a tack, and she's in great physical shape and all the things.
Mashallah.
Mashallah. I don't know if that's what the Jews would say, but mashallah. Anyway, so she was saying that my cousin's little kid was really excited to have her there and all of these things, and that he wanted to play, but she couldn't get off the floor or something similar to that. Mm. And normally she can get up like no problem, no hands. She likes to show us that. She's very impressive.
That is impressive. I can't even do that.
Agreed. But
what do you mean?
Like she used to be able to
get
off the
floor. No, I know what you mean. I'm saying I can't do that.
Exactly.
I don't know how she does it.
Exactly. Well, she can't anymore. Her hip's getting a little bad. I mean, she is 93, so – you know, things start to happen. Anyway, she was telling me that she was talking to my cousin's little kid, and she was saying, isn't it great? When you were little, I used to take care of you and I used to help you do things. And now that I'm getting older, you get to help me do things. Aww. And instead of seeing it where I feel like a lot of people would see that as sad and depressing, she only saw beauty in it. And she was telling me like, my cousin's husband was saying it's the circle of life. And she said, and I've never heard. There's a song apparently about the circle of life from The Lion King. I'm like, yes, bub. There's a song from The Lion King called The Circle of Life. She's like, I have to hear it, but it really is the circle of life. I'm like, that's exactly right. And I just thought it was – I would have shared this even if we weren't doing an aging episode, because I think her perspective on life is what keeps her young and healthy
100%.
And fresh, is that she could take that moment and instead of being sad, only see beauty in it.
Yeah.
God
you're
damn,
right.
Bubby.
You her perspective is the reason she is.
100%.
100%.
100%.
Mashallah, keeps, Bubby.
Mashallah, Bubby.
Mashallah, by the way, for you guys, is a Muslim, Muslim term, but also I'm Persian. And we use it to just mean like, to keep away the evil eye. It's like when someone says something kind or complimentary or good about you or someone else, you say mashallah to bless them, to keep them in that state of goodness and health.
Do you know what my bubby does? She says poo, poo, poo. Like that's a thing. That's like poo,
spitting
poo
on the evil eye.
Yeah.
That's what that
is. Everything's good. Poo, poo, poo. Love you, Bubby. She really is. I'm going to literally probably discuss her the entire episode.
Well, I hope you share this with her then.
Yes. We should have her on the podcast. I don't even know.
Oh my
know
God. That would be the cutest.
The best. The best. She would just like be telling you how amazing you are the whole time. I'd be totally. Like, great. Keep going.
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
On one of these days, we're feeling really low about ourselves.
Yeah, we'll have I'll Bubby be like, on. Exactly. All right. Hit me with something. You have anything?
As adorable oh my God. As I have Bubby? A delight. Oh, good. I have a delight. It's not as adorable as Bubby, but it is a delight. I went to LA to a film premiere with my friend Alok.
You're so bougie.
And other friends that were there. And this film, by the way, it's called The Queen of My Dreams. It's an independent film. It is a queer film. So it is very, it's a queer film about a Pakistani family. And unfortunately, like those kinds of films are not mainstream and it's very right. difficult to get, you know, a Netflix or an Amazon right. to buy them. So yeah. it is hard to see them. You'll see them. If you look for The Queen of My Dreams, it's probably playing at a festival near you. It is beautiful. What a film.
Really?
I mean, truly. And this is my delight. We got there before the movie and the director who we know was there in front of the step and repeat with our friend Chani Nichols, who was doing a Q&A with the director afterwards.
Right.
Anyway, and so it's this like, okay, everyone, rush, get in the photo. Alok and I arrived a little late. So Alok and I, you know, get in the picture. Picture gets taken. Picture is sent to me. Do you know who else is in the picture?
Who?
Three people down.
Who?
Chapel Roan.
No way.
Yes.
No? I wouldn't even know Chapel if I ran into her on the street.
No, I didn't even see her. As she walked away from the picture, Alok was like, oh, that was Chapel Roan. And then she sat behind me for the movie. And when I tell you, Reina, my 15-year-old, and I are obsessed. Reina is really obsessed.
Introduced
me to her.
Yes.
She is amazing. So I'm like texting Reina in the movie. I'm like, you're never going to believe it. And Reina's like, I won't believe it till I see it. And this morning, Alok found and sent me the picture. So I got to show my daughter.
In your face, Reina.
In your face. Is that not? I mean, that was delight.
Can I see the picture?
Yeah. You know, the problem is, here's the cringe part. I look terrible in the photo. So it's not a picture I'm going to be like sharing widely. But if you ask me, I'll show you. I don't look good, but
I want to see it. Doesn't matter. It's a fun
photo. As is the incredible director of The Queen of My Dreams. Yeah. Anyway, it was a really beautiful film, but that's my delight.
Wow. Delightful.
Delightful. Okay. Well, shall we talk about aging, Beanie, and birthdays?
I think we shall. I will say, since I came on this podcast over a year ago, and we have brainstormed for hours and hours and hours of what to talk about, what people will like the most, I have consistently come back to aging as a topic. And for some reason,
that's what you wanted to talk about from day one.
Yes. And for some reason, it keeps like not happening, not in a bad way. Like you haven't been dissing it. It just, we haven't arrived at it yet. And suddenly we decided for our birthdays, and truth talk, we're both in our 40s now. And I have to say, as the preface to all of this, I feel like that's when aging really smacks you in the face. Yeah.
Agreed.
That's what I think. It's a shift. It's a major shift. It's in some ways beautifully, I will say as well, which I hope we can also tackle this episode. But in a lot of ways, I think that's when you become more aware of everything and things do start changing. More so than when you were younger.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we were putting this episode off because we were all afraid that this was going to be an episode where Bean comes to complain about aging, but you're coming at it with a totally different attitude.
Oh, no, I'm going to complain mostly. I'm going to say I'm like 80% complain, 20% not complain. But I'm really hoping that with conversations with you, because we don't really discuss it much outside of me just whining, that I will be enlightened or I will have a mental shift or anything, that I can view it all in a different lens, which I can do sometimes, but it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agreed. Okay. So in this episode, we're going to do some reflections on aging. We're going to talk about maintaining your health and wellness while you're aging. We're going to talk about how do you embrace change as you age.
We are.
And then we'll just talk about celebrating this milestone of our trip around the sun.
Yeah.
Which I have like to celebrate.
I do have gratitude. True gratitude. Life is fleeting and precious, and I do have gratitude every birthday that I have made it another year and get to see another year. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Bean, how do you feel like your perspective on aging has evolved over the years?
I wouldn't say it evolved as much as it just hit me like a fucking ton of bricks when I turned 40. Like, I just, it was always not really on my radar because I wasn't aging. I mean, I was, but it was just not where my focus was. You know what I mean? In your 20s, you definitely aren't thinking about aging because you're young and fresh and perky and great. And then in your 30s, I think for a lot of people, not all people, you shift into marriage and kids and that kind of stuff. And then your focus is more on that than it is on like you physically aging. And then your 40s, you can't like help but notice. I just feel like it's really, and it comes up for me so often because the changes are happening so rapidly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I never thought about it because my mom.
Oh, your mom looks good, girl.
Aged so well and beautifully. Yes. Well is a subjective word. Correct. Use a different word.
But even health-wise.
Aged in a way where her aging wasn't. Yes, exactly. Wasn't a topic because it wasn't in your face.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about it until, to your point recently, like as my 40s are crawling towards the mid 40s, I'm going to be 44 this birthday. I think that the biggest surprise was the changes in my body and in my appearance and in my face. And like, you know, like all of a sudden, the way that I would apply makeup, which we'll talk about a little bit later, wasn't working anymore because it made your eyes look smaller. Whereas 10 years ago, it made your eyes look bigger.
Or, and who knew?
Right. Or the way that like your skin reacts to certain things, or, you know, the way your body, especially as a woman, I think a lot of this is going to be about aging as, you know, being in a female body and aging.
And how fucked up societal standards are societal that make us feel so bad about it. Ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But my perspective about it has shifted, I would say, really recently, in that I am someone who really takes pride in my appearance and really likes to, you know, like, feel I love good, look fashion good. And I love makeup and I love hair. And like, I do spend a lot of time on those things.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that it's shifted is like, I'm finding myself more beautiful with less effort as I'm getting older.
Wow. I love that. Bean, thanks. I've never heard you say that. Bean.
Yeah.
I really freaking love that.
For our episode, but it's true.
Wow, I really love that. And outside of physical, my reflections have also, I think hitting 40 for me was really hard. I never cared about birthdays, and 40, you and I sobbed on the phone with you during my 40th.
You did the most.
I cried a lot on my 40th. I just, I don't know what happened. It like, just, it was like walking into a wall. I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you and tell your life story, your experience for you, but I can tell you the way I interpreted the breakdown that you had at your 40th birthday, which was this sense of like, time is running out and what have I done? Or, and like, this new era is coming and oh my God, what is it going to hold? I'm afraid of it. I'm not excited about it. I'm afraid.
Agreed. Fully. That's and what I experienced. Yes, you're right. And I had been a stay-at-home mother and I hadn't kept my foot in the door in any way in terms of a career. And I was entering this phase where my kids were getting older and I was like, what am I going to do now? How did I get this old and not have a plan? Like I felt out of control. I hit 40 and I felt like completely out of control.
Yeah.
But I have to say now that I'm nearing 42, I'm turning 42. I am understanding that there is definitely a wisdom that comes with aging.
Yes.
That you do not have because you don't have the experience when you're younger. And I think the wisdom and the insight that you gain with age allows you to see life in some ways more beautifully. Like you can appreciate certain things. Like, for example, last weekend I went to the beach with just my husband and his cousin. And I just sat for like 5 hours. I didn't get up. I didn't get out. They were like, you want to go in the water? I'm like, no, I don't. Because I am now at this age understanding that sitting and stillness, which is not very frequent for me whatsoever, is so amazing. Just being. And my husband, Corey's cousin, is in his 20s and he couldn't sit still. And he was up and down and up and down, back and forth and around and in the bathroom and in the water and doing the and fixing the thing. And he kept saying, do you want to come? And I realized at one point when he was in the water that all he does is have time. He has time to sit and be all the time.
Yes.
He wants to do. His body wants to get up and move. My body is in constant motion. It's constant. I have three kids. I have a, you know, it's like life. It's constant. Mm-hmm. That for me, sitting finally, like you always see these older people sitting on the bench and just mm-hmm. looking and watching. And you kind of think like, what's that all about? But now mm-hmm. I feel like I sat there smiling like my mom does, staring at everyone on the beach around me, smiling at strangers, probably in a creepy way, but just like sitting and watching, which I never get to do.
Yeah.
There's something so really true. Beautiful about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the like gratitude you have is so different.
Totally.
As you age for the simple things.
Yes.
Like the things that we took for granted when we were younger, yeah. like sitting just like the ocean. Like every time I look at the ocean,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, I can't believe I get to powerful. Look at you every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm in nature. Like now, I wouldn't have cared.
All the time now, I'm like suddenly understanding the beauty of nature and the power of nature. Not that I didn't pay attention, but now it feels like so miraculous. Yeah. And I think it's just because I've spent so much time on Earth.
On Earth. Appreciating Earth. Well, why do you – listen, I think one of the reasons that we particularly in female bodies resist aging is some of the societal perceptions that come with being a woman, a female identifying person, and aging.
Yes.
So what do you feel like are some of the like cultural norms or perceptions that have been toxic for you as someone who's female, identifies as female, and aging? Like what were some of your fears or negative belief systems around aging based on society and what you were hearing or seeing?
I mean, I don't even know if it's a belief. I'd say it's kind of accurate. I mean, that what happens to your body as you age, like you said up top, your body and your face as you get older, it's like starts to become like kind of unrecognizable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it feels really overwhelming. I'm still very much struggling with this. I have no like solid answer for anybody on how to fight that because every single day I notice something else that I'm like, like that can't be.
And that,
I'm 22. How can that be?
Right. And that is causing you suffering because of the societal norms of what beauty standards are. So that's what I'm hearing in your answer is like you no longer look like what you see on billboards and on TV and in the magazines.
Which is funny because I see older women older than me. And I think, God, how beautiful, how wise, how, you know, interesting their lives may have been. I've never. How, no, not even on Instagram, like in real life.
Real life.
Yeah, I see older women and I think, oh, wow. Like I never look at them and I'm like, ugh. You know what I mean? But for some reason with me and I'm used to seeing all these, whatever it is in media, I'm like, ugh, all the time. And I cannot shake it.
Yeah. Well, I think one of those societal pressures is this idea that like youthful beauty is the ideal.
Right.
There's this like strong emphasis in society on maintaining a youthful appearance. So gray hair, wrinkles, these are all seen as negative things. And to your point about what's happening to your body, those things are happening to your body. If we lived in a society, and I know this is hard to imagine. I think sometimes I say things like this and people are like, no way. But this is like with body positivity. It's been, you know, now very openly discussed that 500 years ago, if you were a more robust woman, you were more attractive.
Right.
That was just a societal norm at the time. So it is possible that societal norms
could
create
shift.
Could shift and they create our full understanding of beauty. So if wrinkles, for example, were valued, if white hair was valued as gorgeous and beautiful,
which
we
I
would
think
let it happen.
Is. Which I truly think
it is. But society doesn't. So we don't let it happen because we're measuring ourselves up against a standard that exists out there, not within. And that, I think, is what creates so much pressure in aging is that youthfulness is this ideal of beauty rather than aging women being seen as beautiful in media.
I also have to say that as a 42-year-old now, almost, I still feel like my constant age that I feel in my life for some reason is 28. Like I always still feel in my soul that I'm like 28.
Interesting.
So I think that it's also confusing, not just society, but to watch yourself physically age and feel yourself physically age when you feel mentally like you're someplace else. Like I'm in my 20s. How can I have the body of a 42-year-old or the veins on my hands? You know what I mean? Like
it's so true.
It doesn't align with how I feel inside.
I think that's why you see some women who are in their 50s and 60s, and sometimes you think like, wow, you're really holding on to dressing like you're in your 20s or whatever, which is judgmental, by the way, because wear whatever the hell you want.
Right.
But sometimes I think it's like there is that cognitive dissonance between what your inner world, like what you believe about yourself and what's actually happening to your body and just seeing it and embracing it in a graceful way. Yeah. Okay. So other pressures, I don't know. I'm curious about if you feel like these are...
The answer is
something that you deal with. Like we are, I think women are really, really targeted by the beauty industry to use anti-aging products and treatments and cosmetic procedures.
Yep.
So there is like such a narrative about like, you can make this go away.
Right.
From the beauty industry.
That's gross. So here's a remedy.
Yeah. Like stop it.
Yeah.
Anti-aging.
Anti, right.
Anti, like just that word is like this thing that you're going through, this process you're going through is something ugly, dirty that you should try to stop.
And they don't even want to say like older skin. They don't say, they say for mature skin. They don't say like when you're old, when you're an old hag, this works great. They're like, if your skin has matured to the age of ripened.
Your skin is so mature. It can have such a good conversation in such a
your skin is so wise.
Graceful way. Yeah.
No, but yes. But and also I do all of the things.
Me too.
I'm completely, completely doing everything. I fall for all of it.
Me too.
And I have daughters and I really would like to not feel this pressure and not have them see me succumb to these pressures in the way that I am.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think we have to just give ourselves some grace to understand that we exist within the context of the society that we are raised within. And so as much awareness as we have and like as much as our consciousness is expanded and open, we also are women that were born in the 80s that exist within the context of the society.
And we grew up with diet culture and heroin chic and all of these like crazy standards. Oh my God.
The 90s were nuts in terms of female representation and the way that we were like supposed to see ourselves.
Other
thing that I think I just said it, like the other cultural pressure on fashion and style.
Oh my God. Don't
when it
get
comes
started.
To aging is this idea of like older women need to dress age appropriately. Which means that we have to somehow become more subdued or conservative in our fashion choices as we get older.
Yeah.
Chicos. Do have, you know that I have a love of Mrs. Roper and I have a fantasy of dressing like Mrs. Roper in my like 70s.
In your 70s, you would like to. Okay.
Understood. Don't you think you like that vibe for me?
Yeah. I really want to get into like muumuus and like just
that's
really
what I'm
pillowy.
Saying. And big chunky. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down with that. I'll live with you on that commune. Thanks.
Our dream is to be in a retirement community, not like a facility, a community. So like imagine a pool, you're biking around,
anti-aging.
And there's like happy hour and Bean and I are just kind of like lightly buzzed all day long.
All day.
Just like living our best friend life in our late 70s, early 80s.
That'll be amazing. But do we have to wait that long? Ugh.
I hope not. Yeah. But we have to include our husbands then.
That's right. Know? Fine.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I don't know about this like idea. Like, do you feel like you... No. have changed the way you dress not because of your body, but because you want to fit a societal expectation of what a woman in her 40s should wear?
Truthfully, I'm almost the opposite. So
I agree. I think you are.
No, not in that way. In like, I don't like dressing like a mom, which is really shitty of me to like comment on what a mom dresses like, because everybody should wear whatever the fuck they want to wear and feel good about. But I do struggle with this. Like, I still want to stay on trend because you and I both are into that. But I never want to look like, you know, sometimes you see people who are trying to be on trend, but they're not totally getting it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying not to be judgmental. And I never want to appear like that. So I have found that if I stick to certain trends, but keep it like, kind of in a minimal way, and I don't go overboard with it, then I don't feel as though it appears as though I'm trying too hard. This whole conversation is very superficial, but this is a real struggle.
Well, like talking about cultural standards, which are very superficial.
Like yesterday I could totally, I don't feel great when I'm not wearing something that I like. Like it contributes to how you're feeling. If you're having a good hair day, it's like the same thing. Yesterday I was wearing something and it was a very mom outfit, like full on mom outfit.
Wait, describe it, please.
I was just wearing like black sweatshirts and this like tank top that was like from this local yoga studio that I went to.
What did it say on it?
It was like community waves or like, I don't know, yoga pose or something. But the whole fit of the outfit and the whole like my non-makeup, my messy hair, like I was just in full mom mode. Like it was almost like she just gave up kind of vibe. And I was like looking at it and I was like, I don't have time to change. So this is what's happening. And I was walking in the car and I was like, I really feel like I'm dressed like a mom today. And I wasn't even finished. And my 13-year-old goes, you are. Like no hesitation, nothing, no pause, nothing. Like you're fully dressed like a mom. So I was like, shit. Having teenagers.
In your 40s with yes. teenagers around you.
The shout out to our teenage Suzanne.
Girls.
Yes, because they are the quickest. Like I literally was driving my oldest to camp today and I was dancing just while driving. And she goes, you're so embarrassing. I said, so embarrassing. Nobody's even here. It's just you and me. Who am I embarrassing? Who am I embarrassing?
Yourself.
That's another thing with aging is that I was cool. You met me. You knew me. I used to be cool.
I think you're still very cool.
Thank you. But in my 28-year-old mind, I also think I'm cool. So I'm always so shocked when this kid over here is telling me how uncool I am. I'm like, wait, I still think I'm cool. How are you telling me? What?
I think one day they'll look back and be like, my mom was really cool.
You do?
I do. I think they have to think that we're not cool right now. Although Raina does tell me I'm cool a lot. I don't know. I don't know how I got so lucky.
You are so cool. Oh, I'm so jealous.
So are you though. Raina just needs to talk to Evie and be like, it's okay to say it. It's she's not going to like take over your life.
No, I don't think Evie thinks I'm cool. That's the problem.
I see the way she looks at you. Anyway.
Raina says you're cool?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. God bless
I don't know.
You. Wow.
I don't know. Ask me in 2 weeks. Maybe it'll be different. Wow. Okay. So other societal pressures.
You didn't even talk about you and you're just asking me questions. What about you? You always dress to impress. You always have. You always will. I've never once seen you in something where I'm like, you look really momish right now. Ever. Never, ever, ever.
I think that I have always put on my body what makes me feel the best. And this is one area where I don't allow cultural norms around what women in their 40s should wear to even enter my mind.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's like I'm too shallow, but I really just want it to look good on me.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
I agree.
That's one area I don't care. I like what I like. I like the way it looks on me. I like the way it makes me feel. I'm going to wear it, whether it's like something that. You know, sometimes there's like these boutiques, you know, that are very clearly for your daughter's age, right? Like you can tell by the little mini t-shirts that like come up to your you know, navel and that are in the window. And I'll go in there and I'll find something just fine.
Shit, girl.
And it's not, you know, showing off my whole body, but like I don't have that feeling of, oh my God, this is going to be embarrassing if I wear it.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have that like, oh, I'm too old. I can't. I have to dress like a mother because I'm a mother. But I don't like that I find myself dressing like a mother unconsciously. Like it's just happening to me. And that's what's scary. Yeah. That you always see people. Yeah. What is it?
That's more about convenience. You're just trying to get out the door and get shit done.
Yeah, but you always look good.
Well, I don't think that I always look dressed to impress. That's not true. You're not like seeing me on a Saturday morning when I don't feel like it.
I feel like you are underestimating how much I know you.
No, I think I can do the like very, sorry, this is a very judgmental word. I'm just going to say it. I can do the very basic Lululemons and a t-shirt that's tied
you
in the back.
You always look good.
That's
your hair
kind
looks
of a mom
good.
Vibe.
Yeah, your hair always looks, everything looks good. Your makeup's always done. I don't wear a lot of makeup either all the time. That's another thing as you get older, I think. Because you can see your age
you
the older
can
you
see
get
it.
Without makeup.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, that bitch looks tired.
But also, anyway, I'm not even going to go down that road. We'll talk about makeup later. The other thing I just wanted to talk about is like the way women are seen in terms of having value in society, in terms of being productive as they age.
Yes.
I think that that's part of why wrinkles and gray hair is also so vilified.
Yes.
I mean, actually, from a historical context, it has to do with this idea of the old crone and trying to like remove wise women from society because they were getting in the way of
because they were
male
so wise.
Dominance.
Totally.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like because of this idea that we wanted a certain type of male to, not we wanted, white males wanted to create standards that created power. I'm talking about the patriarchy. Women have been villainized over time in history as they age because their wisdom is inconvenient. Because also there is a higher likelihood to speak up, to go against the standards that are being forced on you as you become older and wiser. And so older women have been villainized, and therefore we don't celebrate the traits of older women because it's inconvenient for patriarchal societies to celebrate wise women. But I think that one of the ways that that's happened over time that still we have a hangover from today is this idea that as we age, our value in society becomes less and less. In our youthfulness, we are there to produce offspring.
Right.
And to then raise those offspring.
Right.
But what happens when they leave the nest? You know, first of all, what that takes out of the entire conversation is women in the working world using our actual brains to create and innovate and problem solve, which we have been a massive part of. But this idea that our value decreases as we age is something that I really feel like is really toxic for women's psychology as they age. I think it's subliminally in our minds in a way we have to talk about more so we can address it and get rid of that notion.
I love that because that is very aligned with one of my greatest takeaways from aging, like I had mentioned before, which is I feel much wiser. I feel like all the experience has led me to here, has given me so much perspective on life. And I actually feel at this point in my life, like today, that I could contribute in the work world in a way that I never could have in the 42 years prior. That I now, because I feel like I have gone through enough shit in my life that I can do all different things. I know how to handle if it goes this way. I know what to do if it goes that way. I've seen, I've done. And now I could bring all of that to the table with me. And whereas before I didn't have that, and I never did think that I had enough value to really make a difference working or anything like that. And now I'm like in this, like, I feel like I could do anything. I don't know if I will, but I really feel like I could do so many things because of everything I've learned thus far.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm glad that that's the feeling you have. I feel that way about my career too. Like, I think that I have found my voice finally.
Yeah.
So there is a way that if I went back into the agency world in the headspace I'm in right now, shit would have gotten done more efficiently. It would have happened, you know, better.
Right.
I would have suffered less because other people's opinions about me being too aggressive, quote unquote, would bother me less because I don't give as much of a shit as I used to in my early 30s when I was in that world.
Right.
So I think that I would have been more effective and suffered less in the agency world. Now, at this point in my career, so much of what I do is about trusting my own voice and inner knowing and the things that I have to teach as a teacher and a guide. And I really feel like it's this wisdom that has allowed me to feel confident enough to say these things and like stand behind them and embody them and follow, like walk the walk.
Right. And truly believe in what you're saying and doing because it comes from experience.
Yeah. And so I think my message to anyone, I think that like this clearly feels like it doesn't apply to us, but I do talk to a lot of women in their 50s who have this notion of like, well, it's too late. You know, I'll be like, well, maybe you should go direct this film or whatever, like whatever we're talking about. Well, it's too late.
I feel that way still too, in a lot of ways.
And it's not.
It's not.
What, like, I think about what Bean just said. You have so much more to bring to bear to whatever it is you've decided you want to do. Start your own business, write a book, like whatever it is that you're thinking about is going to be richer and better because you're bringing so much depth and wisdom to it. There's no such thing as too late.
Also, it's too late on whose fucking timeline. You know what I mean?
Exactly. The like timeline that says timeline. That older women don't hold value and are disposable.
And what you and I are saying as older women or getting older is that it almost expands your timeline because now you're like, fuck timelines. You're like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do when I'm going to do it.
Exactly. So I think the other thing just to talk about women particularly aging is sexuality and our intimate relationships. Yes. And the way that those shift and change and also the way that we are seen as, I again think there's like a cultural norm that says like we are somehow less sexual or less desirable or have less desire as we age. And that's not always
the case. It sure ain't the case. Hope my mom and dad aren't listening, but I almost feel with the search
about it.
I almost feel like with these new hormones that are coming into my body, which is probably perimenopausal hormones starting to make their way in, is shifting and it's increasing my libido again. Not that I'm an interesting case. I've never had very much of a low libido, but I think during like younger child rearing years and that kind of stuff, you're physically exhausted and you're
overwhelmed.
Draining. Right. Yeah. So I'm coming out of that. I feel like in addition to, I definitely have some crazy hormonal stuff going on with me. I can tell physically, emotionally, I can tell. And in addition to that, I feel like a desperate housewife almost in some ways, you know, how they're watching the gardener and they're watching the mailman and they're like, oh, a package for me, UPS guy. You know what I mean? Everything I'm looking at. Sorry, husband. I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying that it definitely is not true that your libido is gone in your 40s.
No. And I think real talk, like our partners' bodies are changing too.
100%.
And we don't talk enough about that.
Yeah. Fuck that. That's right.
Right. Like men, not dad that bods. I, right. Like I actually find a dad bod very attractive and I find my husband very attractive. And like, I'm just talking about culturally, we don't talk enough about like,
agreed.
It's not women that are now becoming desexualized. It's also that our partners are aging. And so attraction is changing and their attraction to us is like, it is a two-way dynamic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That is part of the recipe. It's not just us changing.
And why do we have to carry that burden on ourselves? Like, oh, you're older, you don't want to have sex anymore. But it's also sometimes, not in our cases, but sometimes it's like, maybe I don't want to have sex with him anymore or her
especially
anymore.
Because when you've been in an intimate relationship for a longer period of time, it feels like there's less trying to bring you in and like get you to that state of wanting to have sex with the partner. And so like sometimes I can feel like this where it's like we'll just like get right to it and I'm like, oh, what happened to all the ways that like we used to draw it out and like make it exciting and fun? Those things don't happen when you've been in a relationship for a long time. And I think that that's part of it. It's not just like, oh, you're in your 40s, so you just don't want it as much.
Right, it's not all on us. God damn it.
We're going to reject this idea that women who are aging are not sexual beings. We are very much sexual beings.
Anyone
sometimes the equation. Samantha, exactly. The equation changes a little. So just everyone's got to up their game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Step it up, bros.
Take that. Well, I think that we are talking about some things, though, that do reflect some of the positive conversation and perceptions out there about women aging lately. Correct. Thank you, Oprah Winfrey.
Woo-hoo!
I'm going to thank her for everything. But I do think that, and I really do feel like Oprah was one of the first places I saw this when I was watching this with my aunt, who is much older than me, obviously, but like as a teenager, watching Oprah age and talk about like my 50s is the greatest. Now that my 60s is the greatest. And the things that are in the zeitgeist now, in the conversation now around women aging very, very recently are this idea of wisdom and experience and the freedom and independence that comes with age and how little you care when you are older, that all of the weight that you carried around, I need to make this person happy. I want to make this person like me. I want to make sure this person thinks these really positive things about me starts to really fade away. And we have this sense of freedom coupled with wisdom that is so powerful as women.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. No, fully agree. I think it's been once I crossed that threshold of 40 where I felt extremely wobbly, I did step into a lot of power. I mean, we are saying a lot of great things. And I think there is the reason I really wanted to talk about aging is because I think there's a lot of hard shit that we haven't really touched upon much, but perhaps the point of this episode will be to shift the narrative slightly for listeners.
Well, that's it. I hope so, but let's talk about the hard shit.
The hard shit. All right, let's talk about the hard shit. I'm
because
gonna
life
say, yeah,
changes. Changes. Life changes dramatically as you age.
Yes.
And there's some hard shit.
There is some hard shit. I really think physically aging has been hard. I think appearance superficially wise has been really challenging for me. Like I just mentioned my hands. It's not even like at the forefront of my mind, but sometimes I look down at my hands and I'm like, what? Because they're getting veiny. The skin is getting thinner and crepier and they're looking like older woman hands. But I, in my heart, feel like I'm 28. So I look down and it's like, it's shocking. It's like jarring. You're like, who's, are those like my mom? Like what's happening down there?
Are those my mom's hands?
Are those my mom's hands?
That's the name of a book or an essay. It's so true.
It's so true. Like, is that my mom? Not to see my mom or anything, but it feels really wild. And things that are like starting to sag. I mean, that shit is real. It's starting to sag. I will say that something else really empowering about my 40s is I decided I wanted to get really strong. It became less about like being, you know,
skinny.
I don't even like saying it. And it has become now I'm like this, my body is a fucking temple. Right. Yeah. So I pay way more attention to what I put in my body. I've been very focused on, like wholeness, wellness all from head to toe, not just like being skinny or whatever it is to get into a bathing suit.
Yeah.
I actually, I just saw this woman on Instagram and I lost her. You know, sometimes you're watching something and then something happens and you lose the person it was. I really wanted to find it. Anyway, this woman was saying she was visiting her son at college. He brought a bunch of female friends with him and she had this like really beautiful, she was very beautiful. She had this very beautiful gray hair. And she said that the girls were staring at her and kind of giggling. And she said, she went down to sit with them and they just said, like, what is your skincare routine? Like, how do you look this good? How can you be his mother? And she said to them, like, this isn't about skincare. Like, skincare is not how I look this good. Like, I'm radiating from the inside out.
Inside out.
She does a lot. She talked about soul care and how critical that is. And I think that that's something that I'm learning also as I'm getting older, that it's not just working out. It's all of these things that really that come from within that radiate outward. And now I'm also better understanding my grandmother who looks like a million trillion bucks because she radiates, she fills her bucket consistently. She sees the world with such joy and gratitude. Her levels of gratitude are next level. And I think it keeps her young. She sees fun. She sees love everywhere. It's really great.
It is. It's huge. I think beyond the physical, for me, the challenge is navigating my role as it's changing in my family life. I think that's where aging has really come for me and hit me hard is my relationship with my kids and how it's shifting, which by the way, thankfully it's shifting beautifully and I feel closer to them than ever, but they need me a lot less. And then it really makes you question like your value in their lives sometimes.
Because your identity is so wrapped up in that and being a mother that when you feel like you don't have these actual physical moments during the day where you're doing physical mothering, that you start to wonder, what am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Like your identity shifting. I had this moment at the beach where I was saying in the last episode that we all went to the beach as a family and we've done this for years. And so we did this as a big family when I was in my early 20s and in my teens. And I realized on this beach trip, when we would all go to bed at like 10 o'clock and our kids would stay awake down in the game room, like, oh my God, has shifted where we are sort of like the background characters that are the ones that keep the meals coming and set up the beach stuff. And they're the ones that are experiencing like those fun moments of wildness and freedom that come with the beach that like I don't think I had really clicked over into until this trip where I'm like, oh my God, I am now the older generation to these kids. Does that make sense?
Yes. And even you saying that had me feeling both things. I was feeling both like, oh wow, how beautiful that the next generation is coming in to take over that role and that area of fun. But then also sadness of like, God, that was us. Like, how did this happen? How did we become the ones? Fast? How did it happen so fast? How did we become the ones going to bed at 10 p.m.? Whereas if we go to bed late, we don't feel good the next day. That's another thing about aging that you don't ever, who knew? I used to stay up to all hours of the night and feel fine the next day. Now it's like after 11, I'm like, it's going to be a wonky day tomorrow.
We're drinking. Like, drinking, you know, I drank so much less on this beach trip because I was like, I want to have a good day at the beach tomorrow, which is a different perspective that I was in. It also made me look at our parents. Like, it made me look at my aunt and uncle and my mom and differently. Like, oh, wow. When I was a teenager doing this vibey stuff, you were me. Like, I never even, you don't put them in that.
No, you don't.
You don't humanize them like that. But like, you were me. You had all these desires and longings and wants. And like, I didn't even see you as a whole person because you were just my caregiver. Correct. And that's now the way that our teenagers are interacting with us sometimes, where you sort of lose your humanity in those instances because they're just, you're there to make sure you are the you're the support character.
Right. And that's all they know. And we want to do that. But I feel like sometimes there's a disconnect somewhere along the way. But yes, I agree with the humanizing and it also seeing our parents in that light and now also seeing our parents as even older. That's also been really hard about aging is watching your parents age.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. It's yes, really 100%. And I think that it's really important for me to acknowledge the like the hard time my ego is having with becoming in my mind in those instances less relevant. And I think that that is in some cultures, I think including ours here in the United States, because we don't value our older citizens and care for them the way that you see in certain Eastern cultures, like even in Iran, you know, older people are revered. In Japan, the wisdom of older people is revered. Like you respect in India, like you respect, there's a level of reverence for that wisdom. I think that because in Western cultures, we don't hold that reverence. There's a sense of irrelevance that happens as you age. Like you're fading into the background and life is happening.
Why don't we hold reverence? Why are we like that here?
Because we are such a productivity culture.
Yeah.
And if you cannot produce, you do not hold value.
That is so shitty.
It's so sad. And it is so short-sighted because there's so much wisdom to be handed down so that you can do things better and more efficiently and with more wholeness and fulfillment. But we block ourselves off from that learning because we don't have that reverence for the older generations the way that I really think we should.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm realizing, oh, I live in a culture where as you age, you become less relevant. And my ego has a problem with that.
I bet.
But yeah.
As it should, honestly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's my big challenge.
Wow. Mine also physically, my biggest challenge, I think also is my body not working in the way it used to work already.
Yeah. The pain that comes with like lifting a box and then not being able to move for 5 days.
Like, what the fuck? Honestly, we were sitting talking before this episode and I got up to go grab something before we were recording and my knees were hurting because I had been sitting and I started like, I'm 28. I don't understand how my knees are hurting. It's getting harder. The other day I had to like step up onto like a step stool and I couldn't like get my back leg up as quick. Like it was like, I had to like put more energy into lifting my leg up.
Yeah.
And I work out a lot.
Yeah.
And
The physical limitations are not something you're totally prepared for.
At all. And I don't think people talk about it a lot. And I think people should kind of be a little more, you know, like older people can't get up and sit down as much, but they don't talk about how that starts in your 40s.
It starts in your 40s and you feel it. My knees for sure too. And you're right that like toning and doing like strength
training.
Training is really important for aging bodies.
Yeah, truly. I just met with my functional medicine doctor this week and she was like, now we're at the age, we were talking about everything I do and even how I work out. And she was like, it's time to start introducing more strength training.
Strength training.
For your bone strength. That's
exactly what my naturopath said. She's like, next time I see you, I better have found out you're doing it 3 times a week.
At least. She needs to stop talking to you so aggressively.
I liked it.
Oh, mine was so gentle about it. She was like, she told me someone to talk to about it. I was like, great idea.
Aww. No, I need someone to kick my ass.
No, she was so gentle. I don't. If you try to kick my ass, I'm like, I'm not listening to you.
We'll kick their ass.
I'll kick your ass. If you're going to yell at me, I'm going to punch you in your face.
Well, listen, anyway, we've talked about aging.
We talked about so much.
I don't want to end our birthday episode without talking about our birthdays for a minute.
Oh, okay. I don't. You share. Full disclosure. You are big. You're big into birthdays. I'm not big into birthdays. Neither answer is correct or incorrect. No. You just are big into it, and I'm not very big into mine. That's it.
I love my birthday because I love having a day to just really feel that I have license to do whatever the hell I want. What it is.
I feel like, though, you live not in a shitty way, but you live according to that mentality a lot.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And yet,
it's one of the things I love about you. Yeah.
If I'm saying that, then think about how
much more you have in there.
Holding it back.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. I love my birthday. And I feel like for me, birthdays are about, like, birthdays for me feel like a new year. It feels like this is when I'm going to really take
a moment.
What's
it going to be? Yeah.
Take stock of this last year.
Yes.
And what do I want this next year to be for me?
Yeah.
That is what.
Yeah. I do it more on my birthday now that you say it than I do for New Year's. Totally. I reflect on my years past and I think about what, especially in my 40s, what this coming year is going to look like. And what I have learned with all of my age and all of my wisdom is that you don't know. So stop trying to fucking guess or control it because you don't really know how everything's going to shake out.
Yeah. I don't want to control it or to decide how, but I do always want to think about what, because I think that the longing that you have for your life is the path that the energy follows to make it happen. So I think being clear on what you desire is really important. Okay. So wait, let's end on that. Let's do, what is your biggest reflection on this last year as you're about to go around the sun one more time? And what's your what for next year?
My biggest reflection on this past year has been the power of trying new things and saying yes and not being as close-minded, which I have to attribute in great ways to you and what you've offered me. And you also understanding that I have not always been in a place where I would have said, sure, yes, let's try it. Let's do it. That you saw that in me this past year and you jumped on it. And you were like, I'm just going to keep throwing shit at her because she's just going to keep saying yes. And it's going to expand her mind in the best way possible. So my knowledge is stop assuming that certain things aren't for you or don't work with you or all of these things until you try it. You can always try it and say, that didn't work for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a failure. It's gaining knowledge and perspective.
I love that.
Yeah.
And thank you for giving me the shout out. I really give you all of the credit, but I love that I get to be a part of it.
Yes. I have great gratitude. And I think for this year, whereas last year was more of a like dabbling in what can I do? What am I capable of? What does life look like when I add this or I change that? This year is about like expanding greatly. Like now that I know I'm capable, because that was really scary coming from not working or not doing anything to suddenly doing all of these things was super scary. It was a lot of learning. It was a big growing. I'm still in the midst of it. But now I'm like, now bring on the big shit. Like, I don't want to just learn how to use the Outlook calendar, which I never knew how to do. Like, I want to take on some big shit. I'm ready. Like, I feel that energy of like, let's go.
Yes.
Yes.
Love. All
let's
right.
Go. Let's go. 42. Let's go.
Let's go.
You hit me with it.
I think my reflection from 43 and learning is, it is not about how other people experience me. That is not the game. It is about how I experience me and how I experience life. That is the game.
This feels like a strange role reversal in a certain way. I have more subscribed to your mentality that you're saying that you've learned this year, and you have always sort of subscribed more to the one that I learned of saying yes and trying and doing and, you know, not being afraid to fail. And we like reversed, or maybe spending so much time together.
I was going to say, isn't that what friendship and like intimate relationship is? It's like learning from one another and influencing each other.
Yeah.
But I really have learned that I spent too much time in the assumed headspace of the person or people that were interacting with me.
Yeah.
And assuming what that interaction felt like for them, and then adjusting myself
and to meet them
where I thought, where I thought they needed to be met. And I have really learned that is so much noise that is none of my fucking business. Right. What is my business is how are you experiencing yourself in this body, in this life? Right. And how are you experiencing them? And what do you need out of that dynamic? And like, hold steady, hold center. Don't lean and reach so much. Just hold center. And I think
you've evolved so much. You've evolved, you've aged and evolved to this point that you're like, I got this now. That's what your 40s are about. Like, oh, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 44 is
a typical number.
Going to be as scary as it feels, whatever it is, the yes has to be bigger. The scarier it feels, the bigger the yes.
That's what I'm doing then. Let's do it together.
Okay, let's do it. Let's hold hands. Let's just Thelma and Louise this shit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I just drive off this cliff.
When I first joined the podcast and I announced it on my own private Instagram page, it was Thelma and Louise.
That's what it is. It was a photo
of Thelma and Louise. Like, let's just hold hands and close our eyes and go for it.
Let's go for it.
Wow. Happy birthday, Bean.
Gratitude. Happy birthday. I love you.
I love
you. I wish you all your birthday wishes come true. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode. As always, the best way present. To support the best birthday present for us would be if you shared this episode with as many people as you could think of to help grow our listenership. And also, since it's our birthday, we're going to be a little bit demanding. And also, go leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Only if it's positive. We will see
you. Exactly. We will see you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to our sound editors, Arman Kassam and Anushree Thekadeth. Make sure to join us next week for another episode.